Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, we have a lot of wonderful guests on this broadcast, and I'm very, very thankful. As you know, we spend most of the week just studying God's Word together, and I'm always thrilled that I can share from the Scriptures with you. But this evening, we have a guest on the broadcast that we've had on before, and his specialty is answering questions that people ask. It turns out an apologist finds that there are just the same basic questions asked in various ways. One of my dear friends is my brother-in-law, Cliff Connectly. Cliff is a fabulous apologist who travels around the country speaking on university campuses at the invitation of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and he and his son Stuart now do a lot of this together. But as Cliff and Stuart travel around, if you watch their videos, you'll find that the questions people ask are basically few in number, just varied in their presentation. And thank God, the answers to those questions are ultimately ancient answers. We don't need a bunch of new ideas to deal with these age-old questions. What we need is the eternal truth of God's Word. Lee Strobel is my guest on this evening's broadcast, and Lee is a man whose own life was totally turned around when first his wife came to faith, and then he, in frustration, set out to prove that she had believed a lie. He was utterly convinced that the gospel was not true, that Christianity was a hoax, and he set out to prove it. What a wonderful thing to have an investigative reporter trying to prove that the gospel isn't true, because as has been found from generation to generation, anyone who wants to know the truth will discover the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you have not seen Lee Strobel's story, I commend it to you. It's another one of those things that was sent to me by a publicist, and I knew Lee's book was great, but I thought the movie would be a drag. I really couldn't imagine that they would have done a good job with it. I took it on vacation with my wife, and one afternoon when the weather was not good at the beach, I said, darling, I need to watch this because they want me to interview Lee Strobel, and I have to have watched the movie in order to be able to talk with him and with integrity. And I said, so let's just watch the movie together. Well, we did, and I literally wept at points and laughed out loud at points. The movie is beautifully done. And if you haven't seen it, you've missed out. I was recently at in one of America's mega churches down in Atlanta, Georgia, Church of the Apostles, and they were announcing a family movie night at the church. And guess what movie they were going to show? It was Lee Strobel's story. I want to encourage you to listen closely as Lee and I talk in just a moment, because he is a dear, dear brother in Christ. He's the real deal, and he has shown himself to be true to the faith and walked with humility. Listen to what he has to share with us. Folks, my guest, Lee Strobel, is a best-selling author, and if you haven't read his books, you've missed out. But you're in luck if you prefer video, because a documentary based on his best-selling book, The Case for Heaven, is going to be out on PureFlix beginning now. It's available as of the 15th, and so I encourage you to check that out. We're delighted to have him on the broadcast. Lee, welcome to Abiding in Christ.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that. Great to be with you. I'm a big fan of SiriusXM.
Well, now you have written a whole bunch of best-selling books, but how did you decide to take The Case for Heaven and turn it into a documentary?
Well, I wrote the book because I almost died several years ago. My wife found me unconscious on the bedroom floor. She called an ambulance, and I remember waking up in the emergency room, and the doctor looked down at me and said, "You're one step away from a coma, two steps away from dying." Mm. And then I went unconscious again. So I lingered between life and death for quite a while until doctors were able to save my life.
Well, we're glad they did.
Well, me too. But it's very clarifying. I don't know if any of your listeners have ever had an experience where they almost died, but yeah, you know, there's something positive about it in the sense that it makes you realize what's really, really important.
Yes.
Because at that moment, you realize there is nothing more important than what happens when we close our eyes for the last time in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that led, and you know, I'm a Christian. I believe that if I had died, I would have gone to heaven. But I've also got this skeptical bent. You know, my background's in journalism and law. I'm always looking for evidence and proof. And so that's what launched me on my quest to write the book, The Case for Heaven, to look at the evidence for the afterlife. And then I was approached by Manny Sandoval, who's a young producer of films, whose dad was a pastor of a little church in Los Angeles, and they were immigrants from Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
And Manny and his brother started a little company to make films, and he approached me and said, "Why don't we make a movie?" And I said, "All right." And because I figured a lot of people will watch a movie, but they won't read a book.
That's right.
And so we traveled. I'm telling you, man, we traveled so much to make this film. It's a beautiful film. The cinematography is breathtaking. But we went from Oregon to New York to Houston to Chicago to Las Vegas to Phoenix. I mean, I'm telling you, we went all around the country gathering interviews and evidence for this film. And I'm just pleased the way it turned out.
Now, a lot of people are willing to talk about heaven, but
yeah,
not so much about hell.
Yeah.
Is there a way to talk about hell that actually ends up offering hope?
Well, you know, it's a sobering reality. In my book, I do two chapters on hell because I think it's really worth exploring. There's a lot of misconceptions about hell, and so I explore all that in my book. In the movie, we actually make the case that near-death experiences can, if they're corroborated, in other words, if there's external evidence confirming them,
mm-hmm,
they can give us evidence that there is life after death, that there is a consciousness that continues, a spirit that continues to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And 23% of these near-death experiences are not positive experiences.
Yeah.
They're hellish experiences.
Yes.
And we actually interview in the movie Howard Storm, who was an atheist who died, and he was an art professor at a university. He died in the hospital, and he had a hellish experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just horrible.
Yep.
He said worse than any horror film you could ever imagine. He called out to Jesus in the midst of that and was rescued. And when he was ultimately revived, he not only renounced his atheism and quit his tenured professorship at the university, he not only became a Christian, he became an ordained minister and is now pastor of a tiny little church in rural America.
Great.
So it changed his life.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jesus talked plenty about hell.
Yes.
Because he wanted to warn people not to go there.
Yeah, that's right. More, I think he talked about hell more than anybody else in Scripture.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, when a lot of people say, you know, how could a loving God let anybody go to hell? And I think, well, first of all, sweetie, you don't know yourself very well. Because I can sure picture you in hell. but if you look at some of the monstrous behavior that goes on in the world, how could a just God not provide a place of wrath.
Yeah, and you know, God doesn't send people to hell. We, in a sense, send ourselves to hell.
Absolutely.
He's provided an opportunity for us to receive forgiveness and to, you know, he's flung open the doors of heaven to anybody who comes to him in repentance and faith. And so he's not sending anybody there. It's the consequence of a life lived apart from God, a sinful life. You know, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we've earned, what we deserve, the consequences of our life of sin, which we've all lived, is death or eternal separation from God. But then the verse goes on and said, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He went to the cross. He paid the penalty we deserve for the sins that we've committed. Mm-hmm. And he offers forgiveness and eternal life as a free gift of his grace.
Amen. Amen. I think C.S. Lewis said something along the lines of, heaven is going to be filled with people who said to God, thy will be done. And hell is going to be filled with people to whom God said, thy will be done.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a good observation. We make decisions every day that lead us down a path.
Yep.
And I was certainly walking down that path as an atheist before I came to faith in Christ. I was living a narcissistic, immoral, self-absorbed, profane life, drunken life. And I know where that road would have taken me. And I'm grateful of meeting Christ and seeing the evidence that convinced me that Jesus is who he claimed to be, and using my journalism and legal training to find the case for Christ and reaching a verdict that, yes, it is true.
Speaking of that, Lee, in the book, The Case for Christ, where you share that journey, what are the four E's you talk about that led you to the Christian faith?
Yeah, it's just a way of summarizing the evidence of the resurrection. Anybody can claim to be God, but Jesus didn't just claim it. He died and 3 days later rose from the dead. He proved he's the Son of God. So the four E's that summarize the evidence for the resurrection, first E is for execution, that Jesus was truly dead after being crucified. Mm-hmm. No less of a source than the Journal of the American Medical Association has concluded that based on the historical and medical evidence, it's clear that Jesus was dead even before the wound to his side was inflicted.
Yes.
Second E stands for the word early. We have early reports that Jesus rose from the dead. In other words, reports just come so quickly, they cannot be a legend. It took time for legend to develop in the ancient world. Mm-hmm. But we have a report of the resurrection of Jesus with named eyewitnesses and groups of eyewitnesses that has been dated back by scholars to within months of his death. Mm-hmm. Far too quick to be a legend. The third E stands for empty. We have an empty tomb. Mm-hmm. And the best evidence for that is even the opponents of Jesus admitted the tomb was empty.
Yes.
They tried to explain it away by saying the disciples stole the body, but of course they didn't have the motive or the means or the opportunity. And then the fourth E stands for eyewitnesses. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the facts that we accept as being true about the ancient world are based on one or maybe two sources of information. Mm-hmm. And yet for the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus, we have no fewer than nine ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament, confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the risen Christ. That is an avalanche of historical data.
Amen. And those eyewitnesses were so changed by that reality that they were willing to die themselves rather than renounce.
That's a key word that you use, willing. You know, how a couple of them did die gets a little bit murky in history, but their willingness to die is well established by seven sources, six of them outside the Bible.
Yes.
That tell us that they lived lives of deprivation and suffering as a result of their proclamation that Jesus had risen.
Amen. Chuck Colson talked about how that was one of the very persuasive things for him, because he said he knew from Watergate that people aren't willing to suffer deeply in order to perpetuate a lie. They'll crack under pressure.
That's right. That's exactly true.
Well, I love the fact that as you have lived on, not only through this near-death experience, but in the years leading up to it, you have been faithful in telling people consistently that Jesus is alive and that therefore he is who he claimed to be and he's knowable.
Yes.
Because he's alive, we don't just teach people concepts about a man who lived a long time ago. We actually have the privilege of introducing people to the risen Lord.
That's right. Not only do we receive this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life, we get to receive the gift giver.
Amen.
We get to receive. We get to know him personally and encounter him personally. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So God is closer than a closest friend could be.
Yes.
Because God is living in us, and so it's a wonderful truth. And, I interviewed for my book in the movie Luis Palau,
yes,
who was the evangelist who shared his faith with 1 billion people before he died. And, he talked about he was about to die when I interviewed him, and he knew he was going to die. And I said, if you could send a message back from heaven to Christians, what do you think it would say? And he said, it would probably say, go for it. In other words, tell people the good news. Take a risk. Get into a spiritual conversation. Invite someone to church. Invite someone to see this movie.
Yes.
On PureFlix with you. Invite them over and say, hey, I was listening to this guy on the radio. He used to be an atheist. Now he's a Christian, and he's trained in journalism and law. We want to watch this documentary about the evidence for the afterlife. And invite a friend to watch it with you and give him the book and see what God does. Who knows who might come to faith. Sometimes the most unlikely people come to faith. I could tell you a few stories about that.
Amen. Now, you mentioned Luis Palau is in the movie. You have a number of other guests. Mention some of the folks that are in the documentary with you.
Yeah, Francis Chan is in it, who's a fascinating guy. Mm-hmm. We have John Burke, who was the Christian pastor in Austin, Texas, who investigated 1,000 near-death experiences and concluded that they point toward consistency with Christian theology. Mm-hmm. John is an old friend of mine. We actually were pastors together at a church years and years ago. I've probably known him for 30 years.
Great.
And we interviewed him as well. Sharon Dirks, who is a PhD in neuroscience from Cambridge University, talks about the evidence for the existence of the soul. Mm-hmm. That's an important element. Howard Storm, we mentioned, he was the atheist who had this hellish experience. Mm-hmm. So we've got quite a few fascinating interviews. And one of the things I love about this film is the way that the Manny Sandoval was able to make such a beautiful film. I mean, we used drones. We were in the most unusual places doing this filming, and some of the cinematography just takes your breath away. It gives you a little glimpse of heaven, I think, when you see some of the gorgeous scenery in this film.
That's great. And folks, it came out today. It's on PureFlix as of today, the 15th. So I want to encourage our listeners, check this out. And if you say, well, I don't think I have PureFlix, I get no money for plugging this. I'm just telling you, you can get PureFlix. Go online, sign up. It's easy. And if you don't like it, you don't have to keep it. But I bet you will like it, especially after you watch The Case for Heaven with our friend Lee Strobel. Lee, you have been faithful. You have, I'm sure, other things that are rolling around in your head, projects you're working on. Tell us some of the things that you have that you're looking forward to doing next.
Well, I'm really excited about this new project. It's kind of my legacy project. I gathered together 40 PhDs in the area of evidence for the faith, experts on the evidence for the truth of Christianity, and also evangelists. And we created 91 fully accredited, all online courses that people can take to learn how to share their faith and how to defend their faith in our increasingly skeptical culture. We started a center at Colorado Christian University, and people can get a master's degree or a bachelor's degree all online through our university. Or a lot of people don't want a degree. They would just love to take a course on the resurrection or on Islam or on war religions or on how to share their faith more effectively. So we've got these very inexpensive, all online courses that people can take at their own pace. And so we're very excited about this. We want to train the next generation to share and to defend their faith effectively. And if people go to StrobelCenter.com, all the information is there.
StrobelCenter.com. Now, Strobel, listeners, is S-T-R-O-B-E-L. Lee's been spelling it ever since he was a kid, but you may not know how. So I'm telling you right now, it is S-T-R-O-B-E-L, right? StrobelCenter.com.
Right, all one word.
All right.
So we're excited about that. We hope people will say, you know, I want to continue to learn and grow. And we have the certificate, continuing education courses, and they're very inexpensive. And as I say, we've poured the best research and the best evidence into them. And you can learn to give a basic defense of why we believe what we believe.
That's great. How's your family doing?
My family's doing great. You know, my son got his PhD in theology and is a PhD professor at Biola University.
Wonderful.
Teaching future pastors. My daughter is a homeschooling expert, and we're developing a curriculum for homeschoolers on apologetics.
Wonderful.
Together. Yeah.
So and your wife, who found you unconscious on the floor.
She's doing great. She is. We've been, this is our 50th wedding anniversary next month.
Congratulations, and, man. That's tremendous.
Thank you.
50 years.
50 years. It seems like five. we're thrilled with that, and we're going to take a little time off and celebrate it together.
I think you should, and I think she ought to get some kind of special prize because
she deserves a medal.
She really does. I mean, she.
Oh my God.
She hung in there with you after she got saved, and you became hostile.
That's right. In fact, we wrote a book about it called Spiritual Mismatch. What do you do if your spouse is not a believer?
Yep.
And we talk about that. And it was a difficult time of our marriage. I thank God we got through it and can celebrate 50 years now.
Amen. One of my dearest friends shares his testimony. He was a Jewish fella, married his Jewish childhood sweetheart. And he says, you know, my life was really great. You know, my law practice is going well. We lived in a beautiful little town outside Boston and had three beautiful girls. And then one day he said, I found out my wife had fallen in love with another man. Uh-huh. And he said, I was absolutely devastated. And he said, I talked with her and tried to persuade her that, you know, this was just a passing thing and she'd get over it. And she was absolutely steadfast that, you know, she still loved me, but she wasn't going to give him up. And he said, and I was devastated and I became angry. And he said, I began to think the only thing left for me to do was to get a divorce. And he said that I decided before I divorced her, I would at least try and find out what I could about this guy she'd fallen in love with. And he said, and so I began to investigate. And he said, grudgingly, I developed a real respect for the guy. And he said, and then I actually began to like him. And finally, I fell in love with him too. His name is Jesus.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that a beautiful story?
That's a beautiful story.
Like yours. Like yours.
I love that. I love that. That's a great story. And, you know, so many people, you know, Evel Knievel, the motorcycle daredevilist who lived he was a womanizer. He was a drunk. He was a violent guy, narcissist. Yeah. And yet he came to faith. He read my book and came to faith at just a few years before he died and had a radical conversion.
Praise God.
Engraved on his tombstone is believe in Jesus. And when he was baptized, he told his testimony and 700 people came forward.
Praise God.
And received Christ and were baptized on the spot.
Praise God. God.
So I love stories like that. That's just awesome.
Jesus is still saving people, isn't he?
Oh, my gosh. He not only is still saving people, he's changing lives, he's changing eternities, and you know what? He'll change our world, too. And, you know, we need him more than ever in this world.
Amen. Well, Lee, again, thank you for coming on the broadcast. I thank God for your continued faithfulness and fruitfulness. God bless you, Lee.
Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.